Now, we're still in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, and we're going to read from verse 35 down to verse 39. I was going to make a promise there, but maybe I better not. I was going to promise that by tomorrow night we'd have finished Mark 1, but I better not make that promise. But we'll certainly look at verses 35 to 39 tonight, and then tomorrow night we'll look at the cleansing of the leper, the final section in Mark's Gospel, chapter number 1. But let's read Mark chapter 1, verses 35 to 39, and then just a couple of verses in the Old Testament. It says, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, Jesus went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and they cast out demons." A couple of verses in the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55, and we'll read verses 6 and 7. The prophet Isaiah writes these words, "Seek the Lord, seek ye the Lord, while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." I'm sure that God will add a blessing to the reading of his word tonight. In previous nights, as we've made our way down through Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, we have seen some wonderful insights into the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus. We've seen the Lord Jesus at the river, and we've seen him at the seaside, and we've seen him in the synagogue, and last night we saw him in the house of Simon. And so we noticed last night that the Lord Jesus is really the man for all occasions. He's the man for all seasons. He's the man that makes himself available and accessible to men and women in whatever circumstance of life they find themselves. That the Lord Jesus is not just for a Sunday. The Lord Jesus is not just for the church. But in all the varied circumstances of life, the Lord Jesus makes himself available and accessible to men. But the other night there we looked at the Lord Jesus as he visited the synagogue in Capernaum. And we noticed his preaching. And we noticed his presence. We noticed that the very presence of the Lord Jesus exposed the sin and the evil and the iniquity and the wickedness that was in the heart of men. The very presence of the Lord Jesus exposed the sinfulness of man's heart. And even as the Lord Jesus walked into that synagogue, there was a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out. The uncleanness that was in his heart was exposed in the presence of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus says in John's Gospel, he says, "The very fact that I have come, it means that men no longer have a cloak for their sin. Their sin has been uncovered. The sinfulness of man's heart has been exposed by the very coming, the very presence of the Lord Jesus." And I feel over these past nights, as various individuals have sat in these benches, the very presence of the Lord Jesus has exposed the sinfulness of their hearts. His presence exposed men. And his preaching astonished men. As the Lord Jesus Christ took the Old Testament scriptures in his hand, and as he read them, and as he expounded them, the people were astonished. They were astonished at the power and the eloquency with which the Lord Jesus was able to teach the Holy Scriptures. And of course the reason that he could preach with such power was because he was the very author of the Scriptures. And he was not only the very author of the Scriptures, but he was the subject of the Scriptures. Because all the Bible speaks of the glorious person of the Lord Jesus. What a day that must have been, just to sit in that synagogue in Capernaum and to listen to the Lord Jesus speak from the Bible and speak about the things concerning himself. And the people were astonished. They wondered. And they spoke, no doubt, for a long time of this man and this teaching. You see, when the Lord Jesus speaks, there must be a response. There must be a response. And there's folks here tonight and you've heard the Lord speak. As you've sat in these meetings, as you've sat in other meetings, and in different ways and at different times, the Lord has spoken to your heart I wonder what is your response be? I wonder if you hardened your heart towards him. I wonder if you sought to close your ears and just go on with your daily round of living. Or I wonder if you've heard the voice of the Lord Jesus. I wonder if you responded. And have you come to him in all your need and trusted him and received him into your heart and life? And here it was at the end of the synagogue, after the Lord Jesus had preached his sermon. Yeah, they were astonished at his teaching. They were astonished at the amazing power and impact of his words. And some would say I was challenged. Others would say I enjoyed it. Some would say that they felt the impact of his words in their hearts. But the tragedy is that it went no further. And they listened to the teaching of Christ. And they listened to the teaching all about Christ. And they were impressed. And they were astonished and they wondered. And yet it went no further. And the Lord says, at Capernaum, you've been exalted up to heaven. You've been given tremendous privileges, but you've rejected them. And you'll be cast into hell. My friend, I want to tell you, it's a great privilege to be here tonight, to be sitting under the sound of the Word of God. What a privilege. But with every privilege that God gives you is an added responsibility. And before the meeting's finished, you'll need to respond to the message. You can either just close your ears to it. You can just cast it to a side. You can decide tonight just to go on with the merry-go-round of your life. Or you can receive Christ as your Saviour and give your life over to him and let him take control of it. But my friend, listen. The very fact that you're here and you're listening means that you're responsible. You're being lifted up to heaven. Lifted up to heaven with privilege and opportunity. My friend, if you reject that privilege, if you reject the opportunity to get right with God through Christ, then there's coming a day when you'll be plunged into the depths of hell. And the preaching of the Lord Jesus astonished men. And the presence of the Lord Jesus exposed men. But you know, in these verses we've read tonight, the praying of the Lord Jesus interceded for men. I was really touched this afternoon as I read these verses. And it says that in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out into a solitary place and he prayed. In the first couple of nights of the meetings, we emphasised the identity of the person of the Lord Jesus, that he's no less than God's Son, eternal in his being, almighty. And yet here he is as a man, and he's confronted with human need. The night before, as the Lord Jesus was in the house of Simon in Capernaum, the people were bringing to them all their friends that were diseased and had demons. And the Lord Jesus was casting out the demons. He was healing the sick. He was confronted with human need. And as the Lord Jesus was confronted with a great array of human need that was before him, he went into a solitary place and he prayed. Praying for men. Interceding before his Father for the needs of men and women that were all around him. What a challenge to my heart tonight. What a challenge to your heart if you're a Christian tonight. It's good to attend the meetings. I wonder if we've been praying for the meetings. I wonder if we've been interceding before God. I wonder if we've been so burdened by the needs of men that we've risen up early to intercede before God and to lay hold on God to pour out a blessing upon you, Cumnock, at this time. The prayers of Christ. Christ interceding, laying hold on God for the men and women of Capernaum. What a privilege is afforded to you and I as Christians tonight, those of us that are saved, to intercede before God, to lay hold on God on behalf of the men and women in New Cumnock and in Cumnock in all the areas round about. Oh, that we would be burdened as Christ was burdened to pray and to intercede before God for men. And as the Lord Jesus Christ is praying, his disciples seek him out and they say, all men are seeking for you. All men are seeking for you. And there was the Lord Jesus in a solitary place, and he was all alone, and he was praying to his God. And the people from all round the district, they're all seeking Christ. They're all seeking after him. They all want to find him. I wonder, is that you tonight? Are you seeking Christ? I wonder are you here just out of curiosity? I wonder are you here just to get somebody off your back? Maybe you've been invited that many times, you thought, well, the only way I'm going to silence this guy is just to come and get it all by me. But I wonder you're here tonight because you're really seeking the Lord. There's a wee verse in the Old Testament, in one of the obscure books at the end of the New Testament, one of the wee prophets called Hosea, and it says, it's time to seek the Lord. It's time to seek the Lord. Oh, that would go home to every heart tonight. My friend, it's time. It's time for you to seek the Lord. You see, I speak to a lot of people day and daily, and you know, they say, oh, it's time for me to get my life sorted. I don't know how many times I've heard that in the last 2 months. It's time to get my life sorted. It's time I got off the gym. It's time I stopped drinking. It's time I get my priorities right. My friend, I want to tell you, it's time to seek the Lord. Forget about the kit, forget about the booze, forget about your priorities. My friend, it's time to seek the Lord. That's what we're going to speak about tonight. We're going to speak about seeking the Lord. Is that why you're here tonight? Because the Bible says if we seek Him with all our heart, we'll find Him. He's no far away. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ comes near, doesn't He? Even in occasions like this, He draws near. Why? Because He wants you to find Him. In fact, we're going to see in a moment that if you're seeking Him, then He's already seeking you. He's already seeking you. I said, what a night it would be tonight if a seeking Saviour was just to come into contact with a seeking sinner. What a night it would be if someone found Christ and knew the joy of salvation, knew the joy of sins forgiven, knew the blessedness of being made right with God through the Lord Jesus. My friend, it's time for you to seek the Lord. Do you know one of the tragedies of the world that we're living in? Well, the Apostle Paul sums it up in Romans chapter 3 and verses 10 to 11 or thereabouts. He said the tragedy is there's none that seeks after God.
He says every single man, every woman, every child has gone out of the way. They've become unprofitable.
And I think that's really true. This whole idea of seeking the Lord is something that is so uncommon among us today. People seek their own things, want to live their own life, want to do their own thing. They've got their own ambitions, their own desires, their own plans, their own schemes, and they pursue these things. And it's all to the detriment of seeking the Lord. My friend, if you're in the meeting tonight and you're seeking the Lord, I want to tell you that's an evidence that He's seeking you. That's an evidence that He's already seeking you.
Because you and I, if we were left to our own resources and our own design devices, we wouldn't be here tonight.
You see, it's not the normal thing to come into a gospel meeting. If it was the normal thing, the benches would be packed. The wee rooms at the side would be overflowing, and they're out there in the street if it was the normal thing to seek the Lord. But it's abnormal. Because every man, every boy and girl, every young person has gone astray. It's not, instead of seeking after God, it's seeking their own things. The fact that you're here tonight is an evidence that God's seeking you, that God's already working in your heart, that God's already drawing you to Himself. What a privilege tonight. Why are you here and there's multitudes and you come that are not here?
Why are you sitting on the benches tonight listening to the preaching of the gospel and your friends and your family are not here?
It's because God's speaking to you. God's seeking you. God's interested in you. God's calling you as an individual. He wants you to become one of His own. Wants you to be saved from your sins and cleansed and fitted for heaven. God's interested in you. And the fact that you're here tonight is an evidence that God is working, and God is speaking in your life. You see, the reason that men are not seeking after the Lord tonight is because of sin.
In fact, the Bible tells us that we're really in our natural condition. We're just like sheep that go astray, and we turn everyone to our own way. And it's because of that sinful nature that's within us. You see, our nature is really basically anti-God. Sinful nature, it's a corrupt, it's a deceitful, it's a wicked nature that's within every one of us. And the Bible says that we go astray from the very moment that we're born. Just wander, doing our own thing. That's what you've been doing for years, isn't it? Just doing your own thing, just living your own life. It's all because of sin, it's because of that warped, twisted, ruined nature that's within us. We're separated from God because of sin, and the longer we live, the more and more we wander in the mess and morass of our sin, and we just get further and further away from God. But you're here today. You're here today. Listen to the preaching of God's word. Why? Because God's seeking for you. God's seeking for you, and the message is this: it's time for you to seek the Lord. It's time for you to seek the Lord, to seek Him with all your heart. And if you seek Him with all your heart, you'll find Him. I praise God, you'll find Him, and you can find Him tonight, because He's drawing near. It's wonderful how the Lord Jesus Christ has proved that He's seeking after us. We were teaching the kids a wee verse in the children's meeting just last night concerning the Son of Man, which is another title for the Lord Jesus. He says He's come to seek. He's come to seek to save those that were lost. Oh, we think it's amazing that here in Capernaum there are men seeking Christ. Far more amazing that Christ was in Capernaum seeking men. That Christ was in the world seeking men. And that Christ by His Holy Spirit is still in the world, and He's in your Cumnock tonight, and He's seeking men. He's seeking sinners. He's seeking those that are lost. He's seeking you. Son of Man. He's come to seek and to save those that are lost. 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus left heaven in all its heights and all its glory and all its splendor and beauty. He left it all behind. He came into this world, this cesspool of iniquity, this world of hostility, this world of violence, this world of hatred. He came right into this world. Why? To seek and to save men and women that are lost. Lost in sin. That's you. Yet into this world the Lord Jesus came to seek, came to save. Have you ever realized that you were lost? That's what the Bible says. That's not just the words of the preacher, that's the words of the Bible, that's the words of God. God says that men and women without Christ are lost, lost in their sin, separated from God, wandering aimlessly through life, lost. Christ came. Christ came to seek and to save those that were lost. How far did He go in His steps? Went to Calvary. Went to Calvary. That's how far He went in order that you might be saved. That's how far He went in order that you might be reconciled to God, brought back to God. That's how far He went in order that you might become one of His own. Went to Calvary. That was the night that the Lord passed through. And He found a sheep that was lost. My friend, you're just like a lost sheep today. That's what the Lord Jesus saw. That's how the Lord Jesus saw men as He looked upon them when He was here. He saw them as sheep without a shepherd. Lost. And He had compassion. That's what drove Him to His knees. That's what drove Him to His face in the solitary place to pray and to intercede, because He saw men as lost sheep. No shepherd. Lost. And He had compassion. My friend, it was love for lost souls. Love for lost men and women like you and I that brought the Saviour from the heights of right into the darkness and the agony and the deep sufferings of Calvary's cross. There in that cross, the Lord Jesus the Bible tells us, bore our sins in his body on the tree. That's the reason why men and women are lost. It's the sin problem. The problem of sin. And the Lord Jesus Christ on that cross, he became accountable to God for the sin problem, for your sins and mine. And he died on that cross. He gave his life. He shed his blood that our sins may be cleansed if we come to him and confess. That instead of being lost, wandering sheep, we can be brought near to God. We can be reconciled in Christ. Oh my friend, the Bible says that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, bringing men and women back to himself through Christ. And God can draw you into his family tonight. God can bring you near to himself. You and I, who are far off in sin, lost in sin, we can be drawn near because of Christ and the work that he accomplished on that cross. My friend, it's time to seek the Lord. You're lost in sin. He has come from heaven to seek and to save you. He's died to save you on the cross. You need to seek him. You need to call after him. Is that not the words that we read in Isaiah? Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. See, my friend, there's a time to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Can you think of a better opportunity than now for you to seek the Lord? Do you think tomorrow night will be better than tonight? Do you think one night next week will be a better opportunity for you to seek the Lord than now? It's time to seek the Lord. Seek him while he can be found. Call upon him while he's near. Is the Lord Jesus near tonight? Is he near to your heart? Is he speaking? Is he calling? Has he spoken in nights gone past? Has he called before? The Lord Jesus is near to him. The word of the Scripture, the challenge of the Scripture is this: seek him. Seek him while he's found. Call upon him while he's near. Rest on the promise of God to him. That whosoever calls in the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call upon him. That's God's promise, that the individual that calls in the name of the Lord will be saved, no longer lost, but saved. It's only a call away to me. Just a prayer. Oh, you see, I don't know anything about praying. My friend, just prayer is just the utterance of the heart. It's not about fancy language, it's not about liturgies. My friend, it's just about crying out of the heart to God. Call upon him. You're conscious tonight that you're lost and you're helpless and you're weak and you're wandering in life and you're sinful. My friend, call on the name of the Lord tonight. He's near. The one that died on the cross to save you. He draws near by his Spirit tonight. He wants you to call. My friend, there's a time to call, but there's a way to call. What did we read in Isaiah chapter 55? He says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. Oh, you see, if we're going to seek the Lord, then we've got to repent of our sins. We've got to forsake our sins. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. There's got to be an about time. You see, there's no point in telling me that you're seeking the Lord if you're still hanging on to all the old sins and your old habits. We've got to go. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. It's got to go. Maybe you like your sins too much tonight. Well, you would like to have the Lord in your life. You would like to be saved. You would like to know that you were going to heaven. But you're not going to give up your sins. Eh? Let the wicked forsake his way. The unrighteous man his thoughts and rhythm. Let him return unto the Lord. My friend, are you prepared for that? Repentance, we preached on that before one night, didn't we?
That was the first message, the first public message of the Lord Jesus, was repent and believe the gospel.
come to that point in our life when we not only confess our sins, but we're just so sick and tired of them that we want to be clear of them forever. We just want to forsake them. And that's the manner in which you need to seek Him today. If you're really going to find Christ and know the joy that comes through Him and in Him, then you'll need to repent of your sins. But not only is there a time to seek Him, and not only is there a manner in which to seek Him, but praise God, there's a result from seeking Him. What does the prophet say? He says, He will have mercy. He will have mercy upon him, and He will abundantly pardon. My friend, that's what the Lord wants to do for you tonight. He wants to have mercy upon you. What does mercy mean? Mercy means to withhold from you the judgment that you deserve. You see, your sinners were deserving God's judgment. The wrath of God comes upon the ungodly. The wrath of God comes upon the unsaved, the unconverted. The wrath of God comes upon the sinner. That's what we deserve, God's judgment. But He says to the individual that seeks Him, to the individual that calls upon Him, to the individual that forsakes his ways and turns to the Lord, then He'll have mercy. He'll hold back from him the judgment that he deserves. And He'll abundantly pardon. He'll freely forgive. He'll totally and absolutely cleanse from every sin. He'll make us totally and absolutely new. My friend, God's a wonderful God. He's a gracious God. He's a merciful God. He's a God that's rich in His mercy. And He's a God that right now wants to pardon you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to whisper into the depths of your soul, "Child, you're forgiven. You'll never experience judgment. It's all gone. It's all been extinguished in Christ. You're saved, pardoned, forgiven." But God can only pour that blessing into your soul if you're prepared to seek Him. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. He will have mercy. And He will abundantly pardon. My friend, it's time to seek the Lord. Not tomorrow. Not even later on tonight, but right now it's time to seek the Lord. Just before I sit, there's just a wee bit of warning. The Lord Jesus, in John chapter 7, He looks at a group of people and He says, "Listen, the tragedy is this, that there's coming a time when you'll seek me and you won't find me." And He says, "Where I am," He says, "there you can't come." Too late. Too late to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near. It's time to seek Him. Seek Him now. Because there's no guarantee He'll be available for you. The door of opportunity might be closed tomorrow, because the Lord Jesus is coming soon. He promised His disciples, "If I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And the Lord is coming. And one of these days, the gospel hallway, and the wee cafe in Cumnock will be closed, because the Christians will have gone. Your Christian friends, your Christian neighbours, your Christian acquaintances, they'll have gone. And the door of opportunity, your opportunity for seeking the Lord, will have gone forever. My friend, it's time to seek the Lord. And the disciples come to the Lord and they say, "All men are seeking for you. All men are seeking for you. Are you seeking Him tonight? Well, call upon Him while He's near. He'll abundantly pardon. He will show mercy upon the Lord's day." Now, Father, we just would very simply just commit Thy word to Thee. Who has promised that it just won't return unto Thee void, and so we just leave it in Thy hands. And leave our God, the Holy Spirit, just to work in hearts and just to bring individuals to that personal acquaintance, that personal knowledge of Jesus Christ. We just pray that they be blessed in Thy word. And give us, O God, as we leave this place, a sense of quietness in our souls. Grant the Holy Spirit would speak on in convicting power. and grant our God that we be results tonight for thy glory and the salvation of poor lost souls. That would be a prayer in Jesus' name and for his own glory. Amen.